Remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Revelation, chapter number 21. Revelation, chapter number 21. Amen. 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 All right. Amen. Brother Trevor, would you slip around and turn those fans on right quick? I'm getting a little stuffy. I don't know if y'all are or not. I'm fixing to release some more hot air into the room. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter number 21. By the way, let me say about that song. That's one of my favorites. I'd rather have Jesus. Amen. And that ought to be the burden and the prayer of our heart. That ought to be the attitude of our heart. That we'd rather have Him than anything. Amen. Goes along with the lesson Brother Steve teaching there about naming the Syrian. Seemed like he had it all. He had it all as far as monetarily, positionally, powerfully. But he was a leper and needed some help. Amen. I'm glad we may not have everything, but if we got Jesus, we got it all. Amen. We have got it all if you've got Him. Amen. And I love that song. I love the story behind it. Revelation chapter number 23 for the text this morning. Chapter 21, verse 23. I had some of you thinking I had a different Bible, didn't you? Reading out of the Apocrypha. Amen. No, Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. The Bible says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Well, we can rejoice. We know what that's talking about. That's talking about home for us. And we've never seen it. We've never been there. But our citizenship is there. And we're headed there one day. Amen. Verse number 24. "And the nations of them which are saved," there's the key, "which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." I want to preach on that last phrase there about the names that are written, or which are written, in the Lamb's book of life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this time. Brother Duncan Bradley, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father God, I want to thank you, God, for this opportunity to come into your house. God,
yes.
To hear preaching, to hear your truth, God. I pray that you bless the pastor, God.
Help us, Lord. Yes.
To salvation, that you would open their hearts, God.
Yes, Lord.
The word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
And we thank you for these truths and everything that you do for us, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. By the way, Melissa slipped up, told me that Miss Louise had sent her a message and said that they got a leak problem under their house. Somebody's coming to fix it. Today was the only day they could do that. So do remember them in prayer about that. All right. Well, in this text that I looked at here today that we're using, I said it was talking about the city of God. We'll say a little bit more about it as we go on. There's things about that are yet a mystery, to be honest with you. We don't know all the details of it. It seems pretty mysterious, pretty amazing. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and yet this city, John sees it coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And so there's a lot of symbolism there, a lot of beautiful, picturesque language that are used talking about that city. But the important thing is that not everybody gets to go there. There's a select group of people that get to inhabit that city. He says in verse number 20, let's see, verse number 24, emphasize that the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Verse number 27, he says there's something's not going to be there. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Amen. I'm glad there'll be no perversion in that city. Amen. I'm glad there'll be no child molestation in that city. There'll be no thievery in that. There'll be no lying in that city. There'll be no adultery in that city. Amen. There'll be no sin. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful promise that is. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But here's the crowd that's going to be there. They which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I recently started a sermon, preached a sermon on a Sunday night a couple weeks ago. It was a topical sermon I entitled, Are You In? And then I dealt with the scriptures there talking about being in Christ and in the faith. And I used verses that we all know, like 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Which walk not after the flesh, but after the faith. Or after the Spirit. And so we see in those, he's talking about being in Christ. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 5, he says that we ought to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. And so I used those phrases and took a sermon, preached a sermon that played on that word in, talked about being in Christ. Are you in? And then last Sunday, and I didn't intend on this being a series, but that's how it's running at the moment. Last Sunday, I preached on the fact about being in the family of God. Amen. And I started off with 1 John chapter number 3, and he's talking about the Father and him giving us, making us his sons. Amen. Calling us the sons of God. Hallelujah. And so we're a part of the family, and we dealt with that and spoke about that a little bit in detail. Now today I want to pick up on that, and I want to preach about being in the book. Amen. Being in the book. That's what he talks about here. Those whose names are written, or they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. And so as I think about that, notice that these verses that I read to you is speaking primarily about the city of God, as we said already. That's John calls it the holy city, New Jerusalem. Matter of fact, if you'll look back there at verse number 1, look at it if you will. John, or Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Amen. And so he saw this new heaven and this new earth, and he saw this new Jerusalem. Jerusalem being the capital city of Israel, but really the capital city of the world in our Lord's kingdom. Amen. And he deals with that city here very much. I wrote these things down about it. This is an eternal city. This is an elaborate city. This is an enormous city. This is an elevated city. Some people don't believe it actually touches earth. As you read it, he sees it coming down. Some people think that it's suspended between heaven and earth, such as the moon is, and that people have access to heaven, to the third heaven, to then to there or to the earth. And I don't know about all of that, but that's, I can see their connotation, and the scriptures looks like that. Maybe what it's dealing with is an elevated city. Even if it's not elevated above the earth, it looks like all the world can see it, and all the world is amazed, amen, at that city that God has made as a bride, which represents the church, by the way. That's what the church is the bride of Christ, adorned for her husband. Amen. But not only is it all those things that I talked about, eternal and elaborate and enormous and elevated, but it's an exceptionally exclusive city. It's an exceptionally excluded city. This city has walls. This city has no trespassing signs, if I can say it that way. This city has the means of keeping, and actually it's going to be a vast number of people outside the city walls. There's a vast, we find it in the text, a vast number of people who cannot enter into the gates of this city. Look at verse number 8 of chapter 21. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. He said there's a crowd going to be excluded from the city of God. And he lists them. Fearful. I'm glad we won't have to be afraid. Amen. The unbelieving, those that refuse to accept the grace of God. The abominable, and there you go with all kinds of wicked sins. Murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and that could be related to drug pushers, by the way. Amen. Idolaters and all liars. There goes the political crowd. There goes the weathermen. Amen. Matter of fact, there goes the whole world except for the grace of God. Because we even come from the womb speaking lies. Isn't that true? That is. Amen. So we see, in other words, my point that I'm making leading up to my thought is that wicked people will not be allowed into that city. But they will eternally be consigned to their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's their part. That's where they're going. Now, that coincides with verses in the chapter previous. Look at chapter 20. Of course, you know this great white throne. He sees that coming down from God out of heaven. Look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great. That means prestigious and not. Stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. That's plural. According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Looks like their works had been written in those books, right? Look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You see that corresponding exactly with Revelation 21 verse 8. Now look at verse number 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. So we see here that it's blatantly obvious to me that the deciding factor about who goes to the lake of fire, who goes to the eternal city, the deciding factor is based on whether or not they are in the book. Based on whether or not their name is written in the book. Amen. And that's what I want to preach on today. Amen. I want to preach on being in Christ means we're in the family of God, and it means we are in the book. Amen. Thank God. So allow me, if you will, just to point out three main points of interest and probably not be very long. Let me maybe mention three things. First of all, I'll mention the books. Books, plural. Revelation 20, verse 12, he talks about the books were opened. The books, and they're judged out of the books, the things that were written in the books. You see that again and again in the text that we read there, Revelation chapter 20. Now, I've heard all kinds of declarations about what these books might be. And by the way, it's supposition, particularly because it's not spelled out in particular. But the books that would be opened at the great white throne judgment. I have actually myself speculated that it might be the 66 books of the Bible. God's going to judge us based on what he said. Not based on what we said. But Lord, search the book again. I thought my name was there. Doesn't matter what you thought. Doesn't matter what you said. Lord, I told everybody I was saved. It doesn't matter what you said. It's what's in the book. It's what's in the book. And I've wondered if it might be those 66 books of the Bible. By the way, that is what God's going to use and base his judgment on. Amen. What he said in the Bible. But I've also wondered if these books might not represent our individual lives. I've based that thought on the fact that God talks about a book of remembrance. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. You probably remember this from our study of the book of Malachi back a few years ago. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. Look, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. It appears to me that God deputized a book of remembrance to be written and kept for his perusal. He would look through it at his times that he'd like to do that for those who feared the Lord and who thought upon his name. I was thinking about that, just going along with that theory. Just recently I read in a book by Guy H. King. He wrote this book back in 1948 entitled, the book just entitled Brought In. Brought in. And I'm using some of those thoughts in this message. But here, he based the supposition. He believes that each of these books represents individual lives, that there's a book of all of each of our, I should say it that way, each of our lives. And here's where he bases that on. If you will turn, you can see back in Psalm chapter number 90. Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 9. Psalm 90. And verse number 9. He's talking about God dealing with our sin. He said earlier in this about a thousand years in thy sight is but yesterday. So, and Peter used that to talk about a day with God says a thousand years says one day. That doesn't mean that each day represents a thousand years. That really represents the fact that time doesn't mean much to God. God's not bound by time. Amen. But when he's dealing with that, we think about the end times, and he goes talking about our iniquities, verse number 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. In other words, you know everything about us, Lord. Look at verse number 9. Here's why. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. What's that talking about? That's talking about a book. My life is like a book before you, God. You read it. You know the beginning. You read it. You know the end. God, you know all about me. My life is like a book. Amen. My life is like a book. And so, Mr. King said this. I wrote this quote down because I thought it was very good. He said, quote, it is as if in the working out of our lives, we were automatically writing it all down in a book. You've heard people talk about, and I'm going to stop just a minute from his quote. I'll get back to it. You've heard people say that when they come near death, have a near-death experience, they said it's like my whole life flashed before my eyes. You know who recorded that, don't you? You did. You recorded it. Your mind recorded those things. And God's going to bring something out of the grave, and God's going to use something, amen, in the judgment. And here's what I believe. Our own mouth will condemn us for our sins. Amen. Let me get back to his quote. He says, quote, it is as if in the working out of our lives, we were automatically writing it all down in a book. Every year a chapter, every day a page, every hour a line. We began to write long before our little fingers can hold and handle a pencil. And in between page one and the end, all will be recorded. All the good, all the bad. And when it is completed, it will, as it were, be placed on the shelves of God's library of biography, awaiting the opening day. John said, I saw a bunch of books there. I saw books. I put in the word bunch. I saw books there. And they're judged out of those books. Amen. Now, speaking about books and thinking about biographies, that's the idea of that. You know, I love books and I have a lot of thoughts about that. We've all read biographies. And by the way, I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to read good biographies. Amen. We've read biographies of great men and great women. Sometimes we've wondered how accurate they really are. Amen. Sometimes we wonder if things have been written down and recorded accurately. Amen. Perhaps the writer has been prejudiced by withholding bad information, or equally prejudiced by withholding good information. You do need to know who's writing the book to know a little bit about what to believe about the history that they record. Amen. We wonder if the facts had been exaggerated. By the way, every biography you read is condensed because it cannot contain and detail all the life. It's all condensed. Things had to be skipped over. Not everything could be recorded. But in God's book of remembrance, everything will be recorded. Every deed done, every word said, every idle thought our Lord said. We're even going to give an account of our idle thoughts, Matthew 12:36. Amen. We're going to give an account of every idle word, everything that we've said and done. That's how precise the judgment's going to be. It's written down, and God has the books. Amen. God's a bookkeeper, and He's got those books. Now, let me think about this book of our life just a minute, and I'll try to be quick with this point and get on to the others. The book of our life, number one, will be a complete story. It will be a complete story. I said that biographers, they don't record everything. They may record all they can find about an individual. But God's fixed it so that His book contains it all. Amen. It'll be complete. He knows everything about us. He doesn't skip years or months or even days. He records it all. Amen. He won't spice it up, He won't spruce it up, and He won't make it up. Amen. It's going to be detailed. It's going to be complete. Amen. Now, secondly, not only is it a complete story, and I've already touched on that a little bit, but it could very well be a condemning story. A condemning story. You remember John the Beloved talked about in 1 John talked about the possibility of being ashamed before Him at His coming. I'm preaching to people that more than likely there's some things back in your past that you'd rather wasn't recorded in the book. Amen. The books will contain the unadulterated truth about the life we've lived. Amen. The decisions we've made. It will detail our religious life, our Bible reading, our prayer life, our testimony as a witness for Christ. It will detail our moral life, the language we've handled, the flirting or lack thereof. Amen. Our faithfulness to our spouse or lack thereof. Our honesty on the job. Our treatment of our fellow man. It will detail all these facts. Our moral life, our religious life. And it will detail our private life. What we've watched, read, looked at, thought of, and on you go. Amen. I wonder how will your story read on that day? What will it be? What will it be? You remember Chick Track, first one I ever saw, and I think it was their original one, came out, This Was Your Life. And the story there is of a man that I think it's a dream, if I remember right, and he dies and he sees his life portrayed on the wall. Well, I don't know how accurate that is, but I think it could very well be. It looks like this is the premise of what's going on here. And your life will be your book will be a complete story. Your book could very well be a condemning story. But the third thing, your life could be a cleansed story. A cleansed story. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. I'm talking about having pages washed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm talking about having our sins washed away by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I've read that many countries have a book of records. England's particular book, Britain's particular book, is called the Doomsday Book. It has a record of all the property in England and a record of all the taxes. The same thing. France has such a book called the Domesday Book. But the idea of them all is the fact that it's a book that has everything recorded, and they're going to keep that book. They're going to keep it accurate. They're going to keep it up to date right to doomsday. That's the idea. Right to the end of things. But here's what I read this, and it blessed me when I read it, that In France has one such book, the Domesday Book, that they record every town and every district and the taxes that are owed from that town or district. The taxes that are due to be paid. But I read that if you'd go to look at that book, turn to the page allotted for the village of Domremy. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Domremy, something like that. You'd find written across the page for that village in red ink, it's written these words, taxes remitted for the maid's sake. You know what happened in France, in the history of France? There was a woman we know as Joan of Arc. You remember that name? A woman by the name of Joan of Arc that gave a glorious military victory for France over the British. And because of that, they gave her many honors. And one of her honors was that her whole district was free from taxes forever. Amen. But here's what I got to thinking about. I wonder if on mine and your page, if they're in our book, if there might be a page in which it's written in red letters that says paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sins forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sins remitted for Christ's sake. Amen. That's what it ought to be. Our book could be a cleansed page. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12. John says this, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Amen. It's not works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy, it's because of Jesus, amen, that he saved us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9 or 6 verses 9 through 11, we know this verse, these verses well. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, hallelujah. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Amen. I do believe that there may very well be a book written for each of us, and I hope it's a cleansed story. Amen. Now, I want to go from there, not just thinking about the books, but he mentions one book that's most important. Verse number 27, they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Perhaps that's his life story. Are you in him? Are you a part of his life story? Amen. Amen. The books were opened at the Great White Throne Judgment in chapter number 20. And he's talking about another book being opened. He says, look at verse number 15 of chapter number 20. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So a lot of books were opened. They're judged out of those things, the deeds that they'd done in their body, apparently recorded in those books. But there's one particular book. Listen, it's not the deeds you've done in your body that determine whether you go to hell or not. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. That's not what sends people to hell. Amen. The question is, have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Amen. Your sins, whatever it was, how small, how large, how dirty. By the way, they're all large, too large. They're all too dirty. Amen. But however large, dirty, complicated, whatever it is, can be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Has it ever been cleansed? That's the question. The issue is this book, the book of God, the Lamb's book of life, the book of life that he talks about there. Those not found written in that book are cast into the lake of fire. But those that are found written have access to the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Amen. Think with me for a minute about the joy that we will exhibit when our name is found written in that book. Amen. You say, preacher, I already know it. I hope you do. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a whole nother story when we not only know it by faith, but we see it by sight. Amen. When we see our names are written, matter of fact, I don't believe that it's just that our name will be written down. I believe it's already written down, but it will be pointed out. Amen. In other words, when this crowd comes and says, but Lord, I thought my name was there. He can show them the book and say, listen, right here's the book. and then go under whatever it is. You go by your, if he does it alphabetically by your last name, goes down to that, says there's no name. Nobody in here by that name. You're not in here. But when we get to the New Jerusalem, our names will be found written, amen. And I'm not sure that we won't rejoice in the fact to go see that our names are written in that book, amen. You remember when Jesus sent the 70 disciples out two by two? He gave them power over unclean spirits, gave them power to heal diseases, amen. He gave them great power and told them to preach the gospel. They came back rejoicing because the devils were subject unto him. You remember that? Jesus said in Luke 10:20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Amen. Think about what a joy it'll be when we see our name written in heaven. It's a joy to me to think about it right now. Amen. And I can rejoice on that. Let me ask the question, are you in Christ? Are you in the family of God? If so, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're in His book. Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessing. Think about the security of that. Your name is in His book. Amen. What a privilege. You say, preacher, I think my name is there. You better know it. You better know it. There's a song that says this. My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. I know, I truly know. My name is written there. Amen. Second verse says, and this is my favorite. My name once stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record. But by His blood the Savior crossed and placed it on His roll. I know, I truly know my name is written there. The last verse says, let others climb through worldly strife and carve a name of honor. High up in heaven's book of life, my name is written there. I know, I truly know my name is written there. Do you know that this morning? That's worth more than this world could ever give. Amen. So I mentioned about the books, and I mentioned about the book. Let me give you the last point, and that's the bookkeeper. That book belongs to somebody. That book belongs to somebody. He said it is the Lamb's book of life. You see that? Verse 27. It's the Lamb's book. It's not my book. It's His book. He compiles it. He completes it. He keeps it. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm afraid I might lose it. You don't have it. It's His book. Amen. Amen. Preacher, I don't know if I can hang on and on. You might have all kinds of arguments and all kinds of doubts and all kinds of delusions. Can I say to you that the book is His book? He's not going to misplace it. Amen. Amen. Having said that, I can't help but think about what Ian Murray said about these false texts of Scripture. You know, the King James Bible is written from the Textus Receptus. The received text. The text that the true churches down through the ages have seen and sanctioned as the proper text. But they found some other texts in other places. And that's what, by the way, that's what I think all the other translations come from. The Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus. The Sinaiticus they found, and that was in a monastery, and pretty much, if I understood it right, it was in a trash pile because it was so corrupt. Now they brought it out, and it's better kept than some of the others because it was less read. Yeah. Amen. And so they say it's better manuscripts. Well, then the Vaticanus, in the Vatican, in the library of the Vatican, they found this old text. Here's what Ian Murray said about it. He said, do you believe that if Jesus Christ misplaced and forgot where He put His book, that He would find it in the bookshelf of the Antichrist? Amen. What he's saying was, I ain't trusting the Catholics to find nothing that has to do with the truth.
That's right.
Amen. Jesus is keeping his book. He's keeping this book. Amen. He's keeping the Bible. He's preserving it. Amen. I believe he's preserving it throughout all ages. Amen. Until Jesus comes. Not one jot, one tittle is going to be wiped away and lost. Amen. Don't need to go looking for lost books. We've got a preserved Bible. Amen. And I'm not going to trust the whore of Rome to show me what the real Bible is. Amen. I'm going to trust the bride of Christ to show me what the real Bible is. Amen. I didn't mean to get up on that, but it's there. The Melissa said she got a call the other day, a phone call, and she didn't take it. There's a number she didn't know. And she was on the line with somebody else, and then she went back and called it. And the person that answered, was it a lady that answered, said, I'd like to read some Bible to you. My wife said, sure, that's great. What? Let me go get my Bible. And then Melissa said, I use a King James Bible. What kind of Bible do you use? And that lady said, well, I'm using the New World Translation. Well, that's a Jehovah's Witness translation. And they hate the Catholics, by the way, but if you'll look, if you ever see one of their New World Translations stamped right on it, you know what they're using? The Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus Codex. They're using the Catholic translations for their Bible. Amen. Listen, and you say, preacher, you're just anti-Catholic. No, I am anti-apostate. I am for the things of God. Amen. Amen. I don't mean to get off on that, but he's the bookkeeper. Jesus is keeping his book is what I'm talking about. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Now, only by a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can you be included in his life story. Can you be recorded in his book? The Lamb of God, a personal relationship with him, that alone secures the priceless privilege of having our names inscribed in that blessed book. Amen. We don't somehow merit it. It's not that we do enough good deeds. We pray enough prayers. We give enough to the priest. We light enough candles. We say enough rosaries. Amen. It's not that we go to enough Sunday school, that we witness to enough people, that we, you know, have so many faithful days in church and we finally merit the fact that our name is recorded. No, we'll never merit the fact. It's unmerited favor. It is the grace of God. Amen. It's not that you quit this and quit that and quit the other and quit everything to get to God. No, it's by the pure grace of God. Amen. Undeserved favor. Amen. We have our names written in that book. We don't deserve it. It's entirely based upon the eternal grace and the infinite love of our God that our names are written in that book. Amen. This book is the record of all those washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. God's holy Lamb. Remember what John said? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. He's the one, now, he's the one that took away our sin. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that died on Calvary. And he's the one that has control of the book. Amen. Amen. He has the power to put a name in that book. That's why he said, all that will come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He has the power. Here's another song I thought about when I was writing my notes. This is a newer song, but I love it. The Moyes family sings it. The Primitives sing it. I think we got it by the Orange family, different ones. But here's what it says. It says, to be well known of men, I may never be. I'm sure my name will not go down in history. There'll be no marble plaques to tell of my good deeds, nor any great parades to honor me. But there's a record book. My name is written in. It was recorded there when I was born again. No one can blot it out. It's sealed forevermore. It's in that book of life kept by the Lord. Amen. For every deed I do, for every word I say, there's a record kept. Until the judgment day. My name will not be lost, misplaced, or overlooked, for it's safely kept in God's record book. Amen. There's a record book my name is written in. It was recorded there when I was born again. No one can blot it out. It's sealed forevermore. It's in the book of life, kept by the Lord. I ask you a question. Are you in the book this morning? Are you in the book? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? There's people's names been on some big books. They've been in Time's bestseller. Their name's been on that list. They've been in the, you know, most influential people of the world. You name different lists, different books that might have their name in it. And there's something special about seeing your name in a book. I remember Brother Kirkman wrote a book recently. I mentioned it the other day and I just started reading it this week. I just got it a couple of weeks ago when we was in Mississippi. Just a new book come out entitled Speaking of Preaching. That's the word. Speaking of Preaching. And it's quotes about preaching, different things that's in there. I mean, there's a myriad of quotes that he's got, 300 plus pages of different quotes, and many by him and statements he makes, and then go by the quotes made by other people. He said to me, he said, I'm pretty sure there's a quote in there by you, talking about me. I said, what was it? I said this the other day. He said, I don't remember. And I said, well, that's a memorable quote. Well, I got the book and I started reading it, and I decided to, every quote's got a name by it. So I decided to scour the book to find my name. It ain't in there. It ain't in there. I might be one of the unknowns or one of the anonymouses. Amen. I don't know. I ain't read the whole thing yet. But if I find one that's my quote, I'm going to say, that's mine right there. Amen. But here's my point. My name's not in that book, but my name's in one book that counts. Your name, whether it is in those famous books or not, I'm going to ask you the question. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Are you part of the family? I said this last week. You could be and you should be. Is your name written in His book? It could be and it should be. You need to come to Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to try to preach and proclaim the truths. To rejoice in the fact, Lord, I believe you've got a book with our name written therein. And Lord, that book's going to give us access to the holy city. That book's going to keep us, prove that we don't have to go to hell because our name's in that book. Lord, I pray you'd bless now some that might come and call on Christ. That might come and have their sins forgiven. They might come maybe and thank you for writing their name in that Lamb's Book of Life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as they get a song ready. If the Lord spoke to your heart, if you need to come, call on the Lord, talk to God, I want to give you the opportunity to do so. I think it's a wonderful thing to make an examination, check and see, is my name there? Remember, Jesus gets all the glory for our name being there. Amen.